Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. 800-531-3815. Toll-free coast to coast. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Hamilton Beasley is our guest. Hamilton's been with us before. He and a couple of other guys are the co-authors of a book called Continuity Management, Preserving Corporate Knowledge and Productivity When Employees Leave. And Hamilton is the chairman of the Strategic Leadership Group and former associate professor of organizational science at the George Washington University. Hamilton, welcome to the show.
Morning, Jim. I'm delighted to be here. Thank you.
It's good to have you back.
It's a pleasure.
There's a part of your book that I want to talk about that is, folks, the subtitle says it all, actually, Preserving Corporate Knowledge and Productivity When Employees Leave. And Hamilton, my audience knows that I've really been focusing for really a long time now on helping people understand the importance of getting training for their employees, making their employees smarter, raising their level of sophistication and capability as professionals, investing in those employees, and with the full understanding that one day those people will very likely leave them and take with them all the stuff you put in their head. But when we make them smarter, when we make them more capable, when we help them to be entrepreneurial, by giving them the information, all of our intellectual property that we have, when we give them all that, they don't just use it for us. They can take it with them. And how do we deal with all that as managers putting this stuff in their head, paying for that, investing in the information that goes in their head? How do we reconcile all that with the fact that they might take it with them?
Well, you're absolutely right in that we have to make our employees more and more knowledgeable in their jobs and more knowledgeable about their jobs. The reason for that is that in the information age, as compared to the industrial age, knowledge is the new critical capital asset. Mm-hmm. And that's really how we have to think about it. Traditionally, we thought in terms of land, labor, and capital. But in the new age, in the new era, knowledge is the primary capital asset of any organization. So when you invest in your employees, you are investing in their knowledge, which means you're investing in the single most important asset. You can't draw back from that for fear they're leaving at some point, because if you do, you will thwart your own efforts to do really well, because you'll deprive them of the critical asset they need to do well. So it's very important that we help our employees become more knowledgeable. Now, as you say, they may well leave at some point, and undoubtedly at some point they will. So the question is, how can we preserve and transfer to their successors some of this critical operational knowledge that they've used in their positions? And that's the purpose of this book, is to describe how we can go about capturing that knowledge so that when the new employee arrives, he or she doesn't have to spend days, weeks, and months trying to get up to speed with no structured way of doing it.
Mm-hmm. How do we, once we have this information, this knowledge transferred, how do we manage it?
Well, traditionally, there have been the primary means of managing knowledge has been managing a knowledge within an employee generation. So, in other words, I might be doing a good job selling in one part of the country, and the corporate office hears about it and wants me to share my knowledge, my selling experience with people in another part of the country. And it doesn't have to be another part of the country. It can be another part of the company. And so that's kind of a best practice, it's called, and I share my best practices, my knowledge that's been very effective with other people in the organization. That's one form of managing knowledge, and that's traditionally called knowledge management. But in the information age with very uncertain times and knowledge rapidly changing, that isn't enough. Now we have to not only pass that knowledge around within our company, but we need to be sure we can pass it on to the new generation of employees.
And the beautiful part about where we find ourselves today in the marketplace is that that the technology is there to make that passing around of that knowledge a lot easier and a lot faster.
That's right. This would have been very hard to do in the industrial age, but we didn't need to do it in the industrial age so much.
Mm-hmm. Right. So because information was important, but it wasn't as critical.
It wasn't changing as rapidly,
right.
And it wasn't central to the work of almost everyone. If you think about it, in the industrial age, to run a cash register, really all you had to do was to be able to do pluses and minuses.
Right.
But now to run a cash register is a fairly sophisticated operation. An even simpler example
is... But the good news is you don't have to know how to count.
That's right. That's right. That's the one thing you don't have to know. And the simplest example is the telephone, where in the industrial age, you could walk into any office in the country and figure out how to use the standard Bell System phone.
Right.
And now that's all changed. So
that's
now
right.
We can't even pick up the phone without acquiring
asking
knowledge.
Asking a question. We have to get some information, don't we?
Right.
I hate it when I always said that my phone system was smarter than me. How do we make this knowledge available on a demand-driven basis rather than a supply-driven basis? You talk about that in your book. What's the difference?
Well, when we talk about demand and supply-driven knowledge, really, what we're saying is that we need to be able to give people knowledge as they need it, as they demand it. Rather than just making knowledge generally available for them to tap into whenever they want. If people want to acquire knowledge when they need it, the greatest knowledge acquisition, quote, machine there is the new hire on his or her first day, because they know virtually nothing about that specific operation, and they are great knowledge acquirers. And they must know certain things, and they want to know them right away. So they're very anxious to learn. Mm-hmm. That's demand-driven knowledge, demand-driven learning. Supply-driven would be if I just hand out a sheet of paper with or several sheets of paper with 300 rules, and I don't know whether I really need these rules or not. I have other things to do. I'm not going to look at them.
Right.
That's supply-driven. So what we need to do is to provide knowledge to our people at the time when they really need it.
Based on demand, not supply.
Absolutely.
I want to talk about that. It brings up some more thoughts when we come back after these messages. 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Hamilton Beasley. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Hamilton Beasley is our guest. He's the co-author of a book called Continuity Management, Preserving Corporate Knowledge and Productivity When Employees Leave. But we're talking about educating our employees now. And Hamilton, you were talking to us about demand-driven knowledge transfer rather than supply-driven knowledge transfer. And I really enjoyed hearing your explanation about the difference. And if you think about it, demand-driven knowledge transfer into our employees or into anybody, any human being, is really the way humans want to learn, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's the way babies learn. It's the way we all learn. We learn best when we want to learn, when we need
incrementally.
The knowledge. Right.
And incrementally.
Absolutely, because new knowledge really grows out of old knowledge.
Now, big companies do a good job of this because they've got training departments in their companies. They got structured, and when a new employee comes on board, they already know the day that new employee is going to get the 3 or 4 incremental orientation training that they're going to have over the next year. They're going to have to leave their job and go somewhere or do something, and it's already scheduled. And so that's the reason big companies do a real good job of this sort of thing. Small business owners, this is tough for us.
Yes, it is hard.
It's tough for us to stop the train, so to speak, and make everybody get off whenever it's necessary, and install this knowledge. It's hard for us to do that because we have a moving train.
That's true, but in a way, it's like an airplane that's landed and it's going to take off. You can get the turnaround of the airplane a lot faster if you don't check everything to be sure the engine's working. But you really wouldn't want to send the plane off without knowing that the engine's working.
You know, folks, if we tried real hard, we could probably get a submarine metaphor in here, but we're not going to do that. Hamilton, the thing is how would we do that? How would small business owners? How would it look? How would the demand knowledge transfer look in a small business?
Well, I think that one possibility in a small business for training certainly is that there are very good training packages, and there are even online training packages that small business people can use in order to improve the skills of their employees. And skills is only one part of the knowledge set, but it really is a critical part. I mean, whether it's time management or delegating, whatever the skills are, or whether it's use of particular computer systems, training is really important to integrate an employee into that organization and also to increase their skills.
So if we could, all we've got to do then is identify the resources that are available online, and there are many of them out there. Folks, you've heard me talk about it many times before. You've heard me talk about the importance of online training. We've had a number of experts on the show talking to us about the availability of that. We actually had one on Monday talking about this. Hamilton, what you're saying is if we can identify the online capability that fits the requirement, whether it be salesmanship, whether it be organizational training, whether it be motivational, whatever it might be, identify that, and then we can actually schedule that at a certain time and have the employee go and get that information from online and or some other delivery method, and that's one way small business owners can compete with the big guys.
That's right. I mean, there's no point in reinventing the wheel over and over and over and over. And that's what training does. It keeps you from having to figure out the best way to do something.
Right. Yeah, and folks, the thing is not only does it make you competitive in the marketplace with against your competitors and with your customers, but it makes you competitive keeping those employees. And now we come to the point, which is really the essence of your book, Hamilton, which is the better job you do of transferring knowledge, the more likely you are to keep that employee and not have to worry about losing that knowledge.
That's right, and You know, for one thing, especially this day and age, the more motivated the employee is, the better the employee will do. And an employee who knows what he or she's doing is a happier employee than one who isn't, who doesn't. And an employee who's doing well is happier than an employee who is not. Mm-hmm. None of us likes to be overwhelmed by the tasks we're given. And if we can help an employee not be overwhelmed by teaching them how to do what they need to do well, they'll be happier and better motivated, and guess what? They'll be more productive, and we'll make more return on our investment.
Right. All right, but we do have an employee here who is leaving.
Okay.
What do we do about it?
Well, what you do about it is that you harvest their critical operational knowledge before they leave. At the time they're leaving, it's too late because their mind is on the next job.
Mm-hmm.
If they've been terminated, they have no interest in helping you acquire their knowledge. And if they're leaving voluntarily, they're already excited about their new position.
They're gone, right.
Couldn't care. Their mind's gone if their body's not. So the essence of the program of transferring critical operational knowledge to successors is doing this in advance of an employee's leaving. It's the result of understanding the critical asset of knowledge in the information age. And we do it primarily through something we call a knowledge profile, which really just profiles the critical operational knowledge for that position.
Hamilton, when you come back next time, can we pick up here and talk about the profile?
We certainly can, Jim.
Let's do that next time, and we'll do that real soon. Hamilton Beasley.
Look forward to it.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Jim.
Hamilton Beasley, ladies and gentlemen, his book, Continuity Management, is available wherever books are sold. Now take a quick break. Be back right after these messages with Rich Galen. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.